This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. There's a group of Northwest Indiana residents who've been very successful in getting communities in the region together to participate in an emissions inventory program that's taking place this summer. Let's find out more. The Resilience Cohort is the organization, and we have with us here in Northwest Indiana the Senior Resilience Coordinator, Kathy Sipple, to talk about it. Kathy, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Sure, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chris.
If you will explain first how the Northwest Indiana Resilience Cohort is put together, and I know it's part of the Indiana University's Environmental Resilience Institute. How did they decide to come up to Northwest Indiana to help get this program underway this summer?
Well, we lobbied awfully hard to be a part of it. It's a program that Indiana University started in 2019, and in that year, that was their first cohort. Both Gary and Michigan City participated, so that kind of woke up some local citizens to know that the program was alive and well, but we were a little late in spreading the news to our communities. So last year, during the pandemic, a lot of interested citizens worked together with me in my role as Senior Resilience Coordinator, as you've already mentioned, with Earth Charter Indiana, to find out how we might successfully put together an application to become Indiana's first regional applicant in this program. And it was really through grassroots effort. We started the outreach to NERPC, the Northwest Indiana Regional Planning Commission. We knew that if we were to be successful, we would very likely need a partner organization that had agency over the whole region, and they seemed like a likely candidate. They tasked us with proving that there was interest from local cities and counties. And so this group of citizens that you mentioned, Connie Wachala was one, Alex Bazan, they are both from Highland. They were key supporters throughout, and we had many, many other additional people who helped. They reached out to the communities where they lived and the counties where they lived. And basically, one by one, Lake County was the first, so props to Lake County. They signed a letter of commitment for NERPC and said that if accepted, that they would like to be a part of this cohort. And we got Porter County, LaPorte County, City of LaPorte, Valparaiso, Chesterton, and then eight different communities within Lake County. If I can just give them a quick shout-out, I'm awfully proud of them for saying yes. Cedar Lake, East Chicago, Highland, Hobart, Lake Station, Maryville, Munster, and Schererville all threw their hats in the ring and said, yes, we would like to be part of this application.
Now, besides having NERPC as well as some other organizations along to help on this, plus all the communities that have volunteered their time and services for this effort this summer, will you explain what the greenhouse gas inventory is and how important it is to find out what kind of impact it has on our Northwest Indiana environment?
Sure, absolutely. If we want to do climate action, basically, we don't know how much action we need to do or where we need to target that action if we don't know what the baseline levels of greenhouse gases are. So through doing this initial baseline greenhouse gas emissions inventory, we're going to know how much energy we consume, where energy comes from, community vehicle types and fuel usage, and a lot more. And then with that knowledge, we're going to develop a plan to reduce the emissions cost-effectively, improve public health, mitigate the effects of climate change, and just become more resilient as a region.
Mm-hmm. Are they part of a bigger picture, at least as far as Indiana's concerned, to get the information together for this program to go through this year and into 2022?
Let me take a stab at answering that, and if it's not what you're driving at, you can ask me a different way. But Indiana University has been doing this for a while as part of their, Environmental Resilience Institute, and they work with an organization out of Denver, Colorado, called ICLEI. And through ICLEI, we have access to ClearPath software. That's one of the top software programs that is available for local governments to conduct this type of inventory. So each week we have a weekly meeting with our folks from Indiana University as well as ICLEI and all the other participants throughout the state. So we're kind of a cohort up here in the region among a larger cohort statewide.
That's what I wanted to find out about. I was interested in this, and when you mentioned about the fact that as part of a statewide group, this is obviously the reason is because it takes all of the organizations within every single county almost, or certainly a group of counties around Indiana, to be able to make a difference, especially when you're talking about such a vast project like trying to inventory greenhouse gases.
Yeah, it all starts, somewhere, and there are certainly communities that are very small, just, 1,000 or so people that have done this on their own. But, we in the region, we felt very strongly that we are a region. It's not just a name. We have a lot of folks that commute into one, county that live in another, and, we operate as a region. And so it was a little complex to get this regional application together, and frankly, we're working through all of the, what that means in our data collection, but we've got strong support, and the rest of the state is really looking at us, and we hope that we will attract other regional inventories. Right now, this is pretty historic, not only within the state of Indiana, but even within the country. To the best of my knowledge, there's been one regional inventory like this done in Denver, another in Southwest Florida, and then another, I believe, in Ohio somewhere. I want to say Columbus. So there haven't been all that many done, but we're really doing something pretty historic, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
I understand that there's a group of interns that are helping you all out during this effort this summer called Climate Fellows. Will you tell us what the Climate Fellows concept's all about? And in general, how many people are all together working on this project?
Sure. I'd love to tell you more about that. Indiana University was able to award us two Climate Fellows through their Indiana Sustainability Development Program. And so we have Alec and Angelica. Angelica is from Portage originally and attends IU in Bloomington, as does Alec. He is from Terre Haute. And then in addition to those, we really had a demand, as you can imagine, to get this many inventories done, that we had to hire four additional inventories, or I would say it was our pleasure to be able to hire four additional interns. And we had some help from the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission, and we were very, very happy about that. We had citizen support for fundraising to make it financially viable to pay these interns a competitive wage with what IU offers. So with that additional funding, we were able to hire Lauren from Highland, Heru from Gary, Caroline from Griffith, who was actually our intern last year as well, and Julianne, who is from Munster. So they all have really amazing majors and varied experience. We've got two of the people who have more data and informatics background, and then the rest of the folks have more, earth sciences and environmental policy background. I think what we're able to offer is an economy of scale, number one, for the cities and counties who are participating, that it's costing them a heck of a lot less than it would if any individual city or county was bearing the burden. And we also ended up with such a diverse group of interns that I think they're able to, supplement one another's skills, and we're probably going to have a better report because of their various diverse backgrounds.
I also understand, too, that there are, besides all of these younger people that are either in college or have followed through on environmental fields of study over time, that there's some real veterans that are from Northwest Indiana in particular that have been very close observers of the environmental issues over time. Some of them, I guess, have even been part of the Earth Day celebrations back since the 70s. Will you tell us about all the residents and other people here in Northwest Indiana that are going to be helping out?
Well, I'd say that there's kind of one level of helping out, which was helping out at the beginning, the grassroots support, which honestly we would never have made it to this place without them. I've already mentioned Connie and Alex. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Caroline, who was an intern last year and is back again. Lucy Mellon was our Earth Charter Indiana intern last summer who helped get this off the ground. Alyssa Juritz from Crown Point, she built the NWI Region Resilience website and was vital in helping us get this off the ground. Blake Gardner from Munster is a Miami University student who helped out last year. Nancy Moldenauer is from Michigan City, and she's been vitally involved in all kinds of sustainability initiatives. She basically single-handedly got us LaPorte County and the city of LaPorte. She also helped get Michigan City on board in the first year's cohort. I know I'm probably going to forget somebody. We did have a lot of help.
There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people helping out.
Besides them, going into this in more of an official realm, I already mentioned NERPC, but Joe Exel from NERPC is the key staff support that NERPC has appointed. And then Kathy Luther, who heads the Environmental Management and Policy Committee, she is she leads Joe's work, and she also sits in some of our meetings with us. So we have a lot of people involved and interested in making sure that this is successful. And I also want to say that every city and county also has an appointee who helps us with the data gathering and answers some vital questions for the interns.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the start of our conversation about the fact that this is a wide-ranging project, and only in some other states, actually, or Denver is what you mentioned, and maybe in Florida, some other places, has this kind of project been going on. Do you think that because of all of this effort together and the nature of Indiana, the industrial state that we are, and certainly the industrial history, which has caused some of the pollution problems that we have in the past, do you think this is one reason why everybody's watching Indiana to see how well we do on this greenhouse gas inventory?
Well, I hope so. I really do. I think it would be great for us to lead the change. And, you know, taking the measurement isn't really the hardest part, right? Mm-hmm. We're just measuring. So what I really love about Indiana University's program is that they don't stop it with the just measuring. They invite all of the participants from the first-year cohort to return in the second year, which is to help communities develop climate action plans to address what's found in the data. So we really hope that we can gather that momentum, and that would be the bigger, better story that I'd love to, you know, be telling that would be even more historic. But what we're doing now is the vital first part. We can't develop, you know, appropriate action plans without doing this measuring step.
Kathy Sippel is the Senior Resilience Coordinator here in Northwest Indiana for a group of communities all together. In fact, we have 14 municipalities around the state and several of them here in Northwest Indiana participating this time around for the 2021 Resilience Cohort. We're talking about a project that is going to take a look at the more serious issues of greenhouse gas emissions and how we can reduce them. And Kathy, thank you very much for the information and the best of luck for everybody participating in the cohort this summer.
Thank you, Chris.
IUPUI is partnering with food companies and other universities to research insect farming.
Due to overpopulation, extreme temperatures, and irregular rainfall, agriculture is expected to fall 40% short of the world's needed food supply by 2050. Farming bugs to feed livestock and us could reduce the need to work so much land for agriculture. That means less gas for farm equipment and less fertilizer running into rivers and streams, improving the land, air, and water quality. IUPUI Professor Christine Picard is one of the lead researchers in the program. She says chickens, for example, naturally eat bugs.
Why aren't we doing that rather than raising corn and soybean and all these other protein sources for feeding chickens, which is an unnatural diet?
The new Center for Environmental Sustainability through Insect Farming hopes to find insects that can be farmed that are safe, sustainable, and nutritious. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
There are thousands of homes that are owned by veterans and their families here in the country that are in danger of foreclosure these days because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, there is a new expanded government-wide effort to help homeowners be able to retain their homes as they try to deal with the economic challenges. And we'll find out more about these special programs that are underway for a short period of time and about a new VA home loan program. Jeffrey Linden is the director of the Loan Guarantee Service at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And Mr. Linden, welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Will you bring us up first to date with the problems that we're facing and these new programs? They're only going to be in effect until probably late this fall.
Sure. So the first thing is, like you know, many Americans, unfortunately, veterans have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic where they may have been unable to make their mortgage payment. The good news is Congress passed a law last year called the CARES Act, which allowed veterans to request forbearance for those loans where they would not have to worry about making those payments for up to 360 days. Now we're seeing a lot of veterans are able to get back on their feet and they're able to start making their mortgage payments again. So the good news is VA has a program available now that started in July to help the veterans pay back those missed payments at 0% interest. So let's say a veteran missed 6 mortgage payments. VA will actually pay back the mortgage company for those 6 payments, and the veteran will not have to worry about paying VA back for those missed payments until they either sell the home or refinance the loan. And again, that assistance is available at 0% interest.
Well, that's great to hear. I know that's a major concern because if you have other financial problems, the last thing you want to have to deal with is have something like that dumped into your lap as well, too. And that's going to be a big help, to be sure. Now, how long are these special opportunities only going to be available?
So this particular program, veterans could take advantage, again, now starting last month. And even if a veteran has not yet requested forbearance, they still have an opportunity to do so up until September of this year. Mm-hmm. But this particular program to help pay back mortgage payments does not expire until 2022, so there's plenty of time to take advantage of the program. There's also good news, Chris, that for veterans who have not only missed those payments, but let's say they don't have the means to sustain their current mortgage payment, if they need a reduction in their mortgage payment, VA has a second program to assist them to help target a 20% reduction in their mortgage payment. And similar to the first program, for any assistance that they receive under the payment reduction, they do not have to pay VA back until they sell or refinance the loan. And that program is also at 0% interest. So we have several options available to help our veterans who need assistance.
Well, that's great to hear because I know that the in general, the VA Home Loan Program has been very, very helpful. It's helped get millions of Americans and their family members in homes that they may not have otherwise been able to afford, and simply because they had served the country and become veterans and have been able to take advantage of that. What seem to be the benefits in comparison to not using it?
As you mentioned, this program has been around for a long time, since 1944, over 77 years. And one of the hallmarks of the program that has been around since 1944 is the no down payment option. So unlike other loan products where they have to come up with 20% or even a 3% down payment, with the VA Home Loan Program, there's no down payment required. And the great news is, for the last several years, VA has had the lowest interest rates in the entire mortgage industry. Also, there's low closing costs, and there's no private and mortgage insurance, which can save veterans $300 or more each and every month. So this program is bar none better than the other programs that are available. So if you served in the armed forces or you're currently serving, I highly encourage you to go to va.gov mm-hmm. To get more information under housing assistance about this program, or you can call VA at 877-827-3702.
Now, I know these programs, especially the ones offering up the help here during the pandemic, are relatively new, but have you all gotten any feedback yet at the VA home loan offices as to how successful this is going to be, how many folks are going to be able to stay in their homes because of the opportunities?
Yes, we anticipate that tens of thousands of veterans will be able to take advantage of these opportunities, and we've been talking to several mortgage companies who have already been in contact with veterans who need the assistance. And the good news is it looks like from the companies that we've spoken to that these programs will definitely be able to help those veterans avoid foreclosure and retain their homes.
Now, if there is somebody who may be a veteran but maybe for some reason isn't eligible for this partial claim payment, are there any other options where the homeowner can avoid foreclosure?
Yeah, absolutely. The good news for all federally backed loans, so if you have a mortgage with the Federal Housing Administration, or even if you have a private loan with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, they have similar programs available. And the great news is it doesn't matter if you have a VA loan or not. Veterans can always call us, again, at 877-827-3702, and we can walk them through those additional options, even if they do not have a VA loan.
Jeffrey London is the director of the Loan Guarantee Service at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And Mr. London, thank you for the great information here. Certainly at the best time where people that need the help here dealing with other financial issues, they shouldn't have to be worrying about whether they can stay in their home or not or lose their mortgage or go to foreclosure. Thank you for telling us all about it today.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for your service as a veteran yourself.
That's it for Regionally Speaking. For for today. I'm Chris Nolte, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.